start your daily Torah Marsha Zayin Iyar Tavshin Pei Dalet Rav Shmuel Halpin.
Good morning. Hashem, I have the schis to be able to say another few words. It's chush of a tzibur. The ones who are here, the ones who are listening in from further away, and the ones who listen to the recordings afterwards. Torah way is such a big schis because people come from all over. I was once in Yerushalayim, somebody walked over to me and told me thank me for my shiur. I was very surprised. It was an American young man who lives in Eretz Yisrael, and I found somebody from Asher to say thank you to. So Baruch Hashem, it's a very schis and it goes worldwide. We've spoken a couple of times on rivers, and there's lots and lots to talk about on rivers. There's a shala which came up just now before Yom Tov. So I thought we'll talk through the shala, and it has a lot of, it's applicable to every person, to a lot of people when they buying or selling houses. Next week is Parshas Baha. And Parshas Baha is one of the few times in the Torah when the Issa of Ribis is mentioned. Therefore, Zicha is Man Gruma, Ha'achuna to next week's Parsha. Another reason why Sagrosa need to talk about Ribis now is because there's been a big awareness in Klal Yisrael of Ribis over the last 2 weeks. Ribis is a difficult limit, but when you do it, B'koyach HaRabim, they've managed, Klal Yisrael have managed to go through the most of Hilchas Ribis in 15 days. Because that's how long it took for Daf Yomi just now to go through Perek Hazeh Neshech. We just finished, it started on Vuv Pesach, and finished yesterday or the day before. Therefore it's a Muzman Geruma. There's lots of more people who came to ask questions because of what they've learned and what they don't understand. So really what I want to talk about today is a chazura of one umad in Hazeh Neshech. Just to say the psikim for next week's Seder, it's mamish from Lamed Hei to Lamed Ches, it's a ganze parsha. Chiyonuch achicha omot yudah imach. If chasashum, your brother becomes poor, vechazakto boy, you should support him, give a toisha v'chai imach. Stam agrosa mitzvah in the Torah, vechazakto boy. Person has to be mechazak. When somebody sees that his fellow friend, a fellow yid, is suffering in parnusa, the biggest darga of tzedukah is to help him put him back in his own 2 feet. Don't take from him neshech v'sarbis, which is ribis. Another time it says v'chei achicha imach. We learn out different things from the first pusik. It just says v'chei imach. It doesn't say the word achicha. And the second pusik says v'chei achicha imach. Then the Torah keeps on going. It says as kas v'cha loisitan loy b'neshech. Don't give your money to him b'neshech. If a marbis loisitan achlecha. Don't give him your food for ribis. Ani Hashem lekeicha asher tzeisi eschem eretz Mitzrayim. Ich bin der Heilige Vashefer, took you out from Mitzrayim, los es lechem es Kanaan, yos lechem le'ilukim. We know it says Yireisum Alekecha by certain mitzvahs, and each time it says Yireisum Alekecha, there's a reason why it says it. Rashi over here says the reason why Yireisum Alekecha by Ribis. If you should doubt, you should love them, M'mshech es Acha Ribis. It's a natural tendency for a person to want to take Ribis. Because Shalifri Shemani, it's very hard to separate oneself from it. And a person naturally tends to find the heter to be able to take ribis because what? My money is going to sit by somebody else doing nothing. I'm investing in his whatever he's doing. I'm giving him my money and he's using my money to gain and I shouldn't get anything from it. That's why the Torah has to tell us, we have to give an extra azhur of Yerushalayim that a person shouldn't go and take ribis. Another touch, says Rashi. Somebody pretends it's not his money. He takes. He says, it's not my money. I'm just a broker. I'm just funneling through Goyshe money. A mortgage broker, a bridger. People are giving the bridging loans. And they say, it's not mine. I'm employed. I'm working on behalf of clients who are Goyshe clients. And therefore, there's no Issa Ribis. I don't have any responsibility on the money. There's a lot of mortgage banks who are saying that they have the money which they're getting is Goyshe money. And one has to be careful. That's Yireisum Elokecha to make sure that we don't fall into the pitfall of Chasa Shulam because of the Tava and the Nisoyin of getting ribis will latch onto something which isn't true. Let's go to the Shala, we'll see what we cover. But it's a Shala which it comes out to Nagea, like we said. There's a Shil who wanted to extend. And they were lucky enough to find, first of all, they're lucky enough that they need to extend, Baruch Hashem. And means that Kim Tzachun, the Kehillah is growing. And they were also very lucky that the next door neighbor was happy to sell them his property. The next door building was perfect for them. They can just double in size and buy the property. Now, Kedarkish, a lot of Bisbotim Midrushim, a lot of Moistis Tiber. There's a lot of routes to buy things, but there isn't always the money to follow through on it. So they had enough money to put down a down payment, which in English, when you buy a property, there's an exchange with completion. So they agreed on that they're going to put down £30,000 in exchange. And the moicher, the person who's selling it to them, agreed to have a long completion. He's happy to wait for 2 years for them to complete on the property. They can start using it straight away, as long as they put down the £30,000, and he receives the £30,000 that he can use in the meantime, he's happy to let them complete in 2 years' time. Obviously, the property won't be theirs yet, so they'll have to pay rent. But they can break through between the two properties and they can start using it. And they agreed, obviously, that the rent is going to be a discounted price because they've already paid £30,000 of it, so they've paid 10% down. So therefore, they'll work out the correct rent which should be paid, and in 2 years' time, they will do the completion. So I got a call from the roof of the Beis Medrash, just wants to check if everything is okay. Now, to go through this, halucha, this is Mamasha Umidin Gemurah Nizay Neshech. And there's four scenarios in the Gemurah. We'll try and run through them quickly, because each one of them is negaya in a practical business. That's not just business, because people are buying houses for business, but the people are buying houses obviously to live in also. And so it's negaya to anybody who's buying a house has to be aware of what they're doing. The Gemurah says sometimes you have a moicha and a lekeach. You have somebody who's selling something, and we have somebody who's buying. And the Gemurah is talking about a field, or a vineyard, or a kerem, and there's fruit growing. Who gets to eat the fruit during the process of the sale? Obviously, when the moicha comes to the lekeach and tells him, I have something to sell, and the lekeach pays at the full price and walks off with the field, then obviously exchange straight away, those completion, the balance change straight away. It's obviously not any question. Until the sale, the seller had everything, and from then on, the lekeach had everything. But what happens when we get to part payments? When we get to part payments, klaz de gemura, who gets to eat the payers? And when we talk about, when we go through such an omid gemura, especially when we're doing it quickly in Daf Yomi, and you're talking about payers in a field, it doesn't really hit home. Because most of us aren't dealing in agriculture, most of us aren't dealing with farms and with fields and with vineyards. But if you say, you change the words in the gemura, all of a sudden it talks much more to us. Somebody's buying a house which is rented out. He's buying an investment property which is rented out. There's a sitting tenant inside. And there's rent coming in every month. Who receives the rent during the process of the sale? That is exactly the same shal which the Gemara is asking. Who receives the payers on the field which is growing? Who receives the rent which is coming in every month from this house? Does the moicha get it until the sale is complete? Does the buyer get it because he's already started to buy it? Do they share? Maybe none of them can have it because we don't know whose it is. The Gemara goes through four scenarios. The Gemara says, sometimes none of them gets it. Sometimes both of them get it. Sometimes the seller gets it. And sometimes the buyer gets it. That's how the Gemara starts. Then the Gemara goes to explain the four things. Let's go on the one which is the least common. I think that's the one the Gemara starts with. There is sometimes a person will buy a property and it will be open. That means I put down money for a property, I partly paid for it, but we have an agreement between us that we can each choose whether we're going to go through with a sale or not. We give ourselves 4 weeks, somebody can put down a deposit, which is an option to buy, and he's put down £10,000, an option to buy the house, but they've agreed between them that they're allowed to back out. If they back out, then the property, obviously the £10,000 has to be returned because it was just an option to buy. It's not a non-refundable option to buy, and the money goes back. If he does go through with the sale happens from the day when he started to pay down the first £10,000. Not on the completion when he pays the rest of it, the 90, but from the first day when he put down the 10, that's when the property exchanged hands. So obviously when we go over here with the next 4 weeks, we have this outstanding question, who does this property belong to? We don't know who the property belongs to. If the sale will go through, then the property already belongs from the time of the exchange, the property already belongs to the one who bought it, because we had an agreement that he's going to buy it, it's going to be chal. The sale, the chalois of the sale is happening from today. If the property doesn't go through, then obviously it belongs to the seller. There is no sale at all, and there was property belongs to the seller, and therefore the money and the, which is coming in from the rent belongs to the seller. Says the Gemara, in such a case, we have a problem. Both of them cannot take the rent and use it in the meantime, because we don't. One of them is a malva, and one of them is a loiva. Because we've discussed it many times, if money exchanges hands, and there's no product which exchanges hands at the same time, a loan has taken place. The same way the other way around. If a product changes hands and there's no payment for that product coming in straight away, there has been a loan. That's a point which has to be gone over and over and over again, because common in the business world, people don't look at it that way. When you put down credit in a store because you're prepaying for something which is going to arrive in 4 weeks' time, people don't look at it as you've lent the store the money. And the same thing when you walk home with a product and you can pay in it for 4 weeks' time, or any supplier who's received from his wholesaler has received products and he can pay 30 days to pay up, we don't look at it as it's a loan. But halachically, we have to keep on chazering this idea, this rule. Anything which is exchanged and hasn't gone, there's no exchange happening at the same time, there's money gone in one direction and a product does not receive back, or vice versa, there's a loan taking place. So therefore, if the sale has happened, comes out that the lekeach, the one who bought it, owes the moicher the money, because he already received the house on the 1st of, where are we today, the 1st of May, and on the 1st of June is when the completion, when he's going to pay the rest of the money. Comes out for 4 weeks, he borrowed the £90,000. If he borrows money, then he can't give anything back more to the moicher than what he borrowed. Therefore, if he's going to let the seller eat the payers, he's going to let the seller take the rent for that month, the seller is going to end up with his £90,000 plus the £1,000 rent, he's going to end up with £1,000 ribis. The other way around, if the sale doesn't go through, then obviously the £10,000 which was given over was a plain loan for 4 weeks, and therefore the one who's buying it cannot take the rent. Therefore the Gemara says, we put the bar into an escrow account and nobody uses the money, and in 4 weeks' time we'll find out who was the real owner and they'll use the money. Got to put in one point over here, which we're trying to make it very nagaya. And by exchange and completion, in the legal world nowadays, the completion is normally, only by completion does the property transfer ownership. That is the default agreement. That's how default it works. Only by completion does the property change ownership. But it can be done differently, and it's been done differently, and a lot of people have managed to mess things up with a short phone call, and hopefully we'll get to that story, we'll be able to tell you. But therefore there's a default, but one has to be careful to know if he's working on the default or if he's changed it. It's number one. And number two, when there's an exchange taking place and you put down 10%, most times the 10% will stay in the solicitor's bank account and nobody can access that money. The lekeach has to give it out of his hands, because otherwise the moicher doesn't trust that he's going to pay. He has no security at all. The fellow wants to buy his property. Therefore the 10% has to be prepaid. But the lekeach doesn't want the moicher to get the money either, because if chas v'shalom the moicher decides to back out of the sale, and he's left hanging, having to run after him for his 10%. Therefore the money most times will stay in the solicitor's bank account. In such a case, there is no loan taking place from the buyer to the seller, because the seller does not receive the money. But amongst he can't use it, it's only a deposit in the meantime, it's not a loan, it's not accessible. But very often, especially amongst the Heimische Kehle, and especially amongst the Heimische properties which get bought for personal use, and also Heimische business ideas, very often there's an agreement, and sometimes much more than agreement, it's conditioned that the money will be released, the 10% deposit will be released. And as soon as that happens, we go into this sigya which we've just been talking about in the Gemara of the four scenarios, when it's mit and when it's usa. So on the point from before, we should realize we're talking about in a case when the exchange money is being released to the seller. Now that was probably the least likely case. We don't know if a sale is taking place or not. But more likely, let's go to the regular case. The regular case is that the deposit money is being paid, but exchange is only an agreement. Completion is when the property transfers ownership. So then it's very pushut that until the time when the completion takes place, the one who's selling the property has to receive all the rent which is coming in. He's given the one who's buying it has given a loan to the seller of £10,000, and he cannot receive anything more back because of it. Therefore, he can't receive the rent. Let's go to this case of the shiel, because this is what we're talking about over here. There was an exchange on completion. There was an exchange that the person put down £30,000, which was 10% of the price. And they were waiting for the 2 years for the sale to go through. In short, the shiel has lent to the seller £30,000. They received zero back in for their investment, for their payment, because the property still 100% belongs to the moicher, belongs to the seller. And so therefore they are not allowed to receive, the shiel is not allowed to receive, or the seller, let's call it the same, a buyer and a seller, I don't want to go to a shiel, let's just talk about a regular, even a shimon, a buyer and a seller. A buyer and the seller, the one who's buying the property cannot receive anything, any privileges, rights, or monies, or discounts, because he has put down exchange money. So therefore, straight away, we said before, using the shul, that's number one. They're using the shul. But we said that they're going to pay rent for the shul. That's what they agreed on. He said, it's not your property yet, so you have to pay rent. You're using my property, which you haven't bought yet, you've got to pay rent. But the problem is that they agreed on a discounted rent because they'd already paid 10% of the property. So they worked out if the rent should be £1,000, because you've already put 10% down, so we'll only charge you £900 for the next 2 years. It sounds very fair. To say that you have to pay full price sounds very not fair. But if you analyze it, and we're thinking to what's going on, there's a very simple halvur took place, £30,000 halvur, which took place from the buyer to the seller, and because of that, he's received the privilege. The often a Mishnah, Paskin Shechanurich, Lo Yiska Lo Bepuchas. The loiver is not allowed to give the malva a discount if he rents him out a property. So he's renting out the property that he's buying from them, and he's getting a discounted price. I know Yingaman Yishlaim bought a dira, and not advisable to do what he did, but he paid a very lot of money to the moicher, and every installment he gave him, he kept on giving paid up installments, and the moicher took the money and used it, and obviously there was a lot of trust between them. And Baruch Hashem, it went through, everything went through okay, but it was a very risky procedure to do. He paid him out 50%, 60%, 70%, 80%. He kept on paying him big payments, and until it came the very last payment, till 100%, the property did not exchange hands. He had paid him up already 80% for it, and he had zero security of what he had done. Baruch Hashem, he ended up, he wasn't a business person, and he didn't understand the business world. And I shot him up, and everything went through fine. But the agreement between them was that every payment that he puts through, the rent that he's paying, he asked him, can I move into the property in the meantime? He said, the pleasure, it's empty anyway. And when he moved into the property, the agreement was every payment that he puts through, that ratio of how much he's paid will be discounted off the rent price. Which is exactly what we're talking about. Mamish, ribis, glat ribis. Now, we've got to find out the ways around it. But before we get around the ways around it, and we've discussed before, I heard once from Psuche Schreiber, the item from Moshe Steinbuch. As Moshe Steinbuch, Shlita told him that when it comes to people asking ribbis questions, there's two answers. There's yes and how to make it yes. Heter and how to make it heter. Nobody wants to hear the usa part. So we're just raising up the questions and hopefully we'll come to the solution soon. Let's just go through the other two scenarios in the Gemara. The other scenario in the Gemara is that the ownership is transferred according to however much has been paid. I mean, for every £10,000, every 10% that gets paid, 10% of the property will go, ownership will go over. That was the agreement between them. If somebody does that, then obviously, they can share the rent however they want. They don't have to share in proportion to what they've done. There is no loan taking place. If every £10,000 that goes over, 10% of the property gets transferred, it comes out there's never been a loan. There's never any loans, there's no problem to give people the rent, they can decide whatever they want, the rent should go wherever it goes. And that is also a very uncommon scenario, because somebody selling a house for £100,000, as soon as he sold £10,000 of it, and he's given away ownership of £10,000 of it, the house is worthless, because the seller can't do anything with the house anymore. He can't sell it on, because somebody's put a 1% stake inside, and he's stuck. And he can't rent it on, he can't do anything with it. So again, I was talking to a young man, he told me, yeah, that's how he bought his house here in the local area in Broughton Park. There's two Haimisha people, and they agreed between them, every payment that went through, that's how much of the ownership was transferred. Baruch Hashem, that also went through okay. But it's a gross chiddush, and that's what's very, it's very unusual for such occurrences to take place. And then we have another scenario. The Gemara says that, the ownership will go over straight away. They agree between them. Ownership goes over straight away, and I'll pay up the balance in 4 weeks' time, in 6 months' time, whenever it is. But they've agreed that the ownership will go over straight away, even without any money being transferred, or only even with very minimal money being transferred. So now, a case of a £10,000 exchange. They agreed between them that upon exchange, the property changes ownership completely, and the £90,000 outstanding is a plain loan to the Moicha. That also is uncommon, because normally people don't like to leave ownership of their property until they've actually received funds. But I know of a story here in town. It's a very hot market when it comes to internal, in the area, the houses of people to live in. There was somebody who heard that somebody had agreed to buy a house. There was a Reuven agreed to buy a house. So Shimon heard about it. So Shimon calls up Reuven and tells him, I hear that you are moving out of your property. You've agreed to buy a house. You're going to move out in 2 months' time. That means your house is free. He said, yes. So can I buy it? He said, okay. Like, it was like he'd only 5 minutes before and agreed that he's moving out the chlal of his house. So they discussed on the phone. After a few minutes, they agreed on a price. And this Shimon was they're both very, very elecha yingalad. This Shimon turned around to Reuven on the phone and told him, okay, so we've agreed on a price, so just want to make sure it's fixed and no backing out. Okay, so the house for now is mine, and you can stay there living there until thing, and I owe you this and this much for the money. And that's how the conversation went. I hung up, and I got a phone call from Reuven saying, I just realized that I've given my house away, and I haven't received anything for it. It comes out that I'm living in Shimon's house, and I owe Shimon, and Shimon owes me a very lot of money for my house. Comes out I'm Shimon's malva. So I'm Shimon's malva, I can't sleep in my house tonight.
The builder agreed with
you. Oh. Why? I paid for it. But they agreed on the phone, so you have to know that it's had Hukas Kenyunim of Choshe Mishpah. What?
You could have said that's all they've done.
Oh. So Pasha's all they've done is agreed a sale. But the Shimon told Reuven very clearly on the phone, we've agreed a price, and we also agree that ownership transfers as of now. That's what they agreed between them. So he called me up. He tells me that I'm very worried. I'm not sure what to do. I told him exactly what Menachem David is saying. I said, it sounds to me quite unusual to say, and it sounds strange to say that ownership can be transferred just with a phone call and just with a verbal agreement. But, as I learned many times over the last few years, Ribbis and Choshe Mishpat are close cousins. But not because you know one, do you have any shaychus to know the other one. And a lot of the Ribbis Shalas will only come in, we can say the psak on the Ribbis Shala once we know the Choshe Mishpat side of things, because we have to know what's going on. I told him to call up Reb Heschel Schneck in London, or he said he's going to call up Reb Heschel Schneck, who's a very chushev adai in the Choshe Mishpat. And I told him, it sounds to me that it's impossible ownership could have transferred, but go and ask. He calls me back a few minutes later, and he tells them, Reb Heschel Schneck tells them it's in a very serious shala, and Pashta's ownership has, yes, transferred. How the Kenyunim work, Baruch Hashem, the Olam have now 24 hours till tomorrow, I'm sure you'll all learn through the Sigi and work out how it went or how it doesn't go. But a definite, his psak was, I don't know if it was 100% confirmation sales gone through, or he has to be choshish, and he has to take on that it has perhaps gone over the sale. So this young man, from living in his own house for the last many years, all of a sudden realized that tonight he has pashtus, he has a house which doesn't belong to him anymore, and he can't live in there anymore without paying rent. So he had to go and pay rent to this fellow who just bought his house on the phone. He had to go and pay him rent for the 2 months until he went out. But the amount of rent which he had to pay was very minimal, because you have to check up what is the value of the rent in such a house. It's a house which you know is only available for 2 months. It was a house which wasn't in the best of conditions. After Baruch Hashem, Haimisha family had lived there for many years, and there was a reason that they were leaving the house, because there was either renovating their own house or moving into a nice house. So the price of such a house was extremely minimal. He went and paid for the next 2 months' rent for that. That was the thing. Let's finish up. Let's go back to the shiur. We've got to come with it, because otherwise people are going to be upset that they only heard what's usa, not what's mitzah. It can't be moichel. It can't be moichel to yucha. Why be moichel it? Only because he lent him money. Yeah? Now, the bottom line is we have to do with all these things. It's not just nagai of rent coming in. It's very nagai to the heimische gegend also. When people buy houses where they're living in, and even if the sale doesn't go through, but the understood mahalach is that the buyer can access the property only upon completion when the property belongs to him. He can't access the property before completion takes place. Therefore, if the buyer requests from the seller, please can I go into the property because I want to do renovations, I want to do extensions, and I want to get works done, and I would like to send in an architect, please, who can draw up the plans in the meantime. You anyhow, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, until we're going to complete, and we're sitting around, both of us are doing nothing, there's no reason to wait, let me in the meantime get the plans drawn up, let me work out what I want to do, let me give it in for the planning permission, let me get it sorted, let me see, get quotes from builders, see what's happening. He's requesting something which is access to the property which does not belong to him. Now, if he has released the exchange funds, it comes out that the buyer has lent money to the seller. And the seller is agreeing to give something back to the buyer which he's not meant to be getting. He's giving him an extra privilege. And therefore, if the reason why the buyer is letting him access the property is because he released the exchange funds, there's a loan taking place and there's a benefit received because of it. But sometimes the buyer has no problem. He would anyhow let the seller would anyhow let the buyer come into the house with an architect, with a builder, with quotes. But they have to know very erlich bazich. They have to know themselves. Would they have agreed to these types of conditions without the release of the exchange funds? If they wouldn't have, it's iseribis. If they would have, then it's okay. The way around it is that if they know before the sale is taking place, which is the same heter for the shi we were talking about before, before the sale took place, they're up before the whole agreement has happened, and they're clearing what type of a price should they be paying for the house. So they could turn around, they'll pay for the house next door, £300,000, but that includes certain things which I need to get for it. That includes a discounted rent, because otherwise I wouldn't be happy to pay £300,000. I'll be paying only £290,000. I'm agreeing on the sale price of £300,000, which includes the discounted rent for the next 2 years, which includes any access which I need to get to the property, and includes that you are going to allow me to come into it. As they can agree anything they want before the sale goes through, and that will all be part of the value of the property which they're paying for. They have to know that this is what they're doing, not because the money is being released. This sale price is being fixed, nothing to do with the exchange money being released or not released. But if one of the conditions is, I agree to all of these things on condition the sale money will be released, then it clearly stipulated that the reason why I'm agreeing to this price is only because I'm going to have a loan. Then you get into a problem. But if you stipulate, if you write conditions in on the sale, it doesn't have to be written, it can be verbally also, but it's understood the sale price includes all these paragraphs, then we have no problem, and it's not an issur of ribs. In this case of the shiel, told them that I'm worried that if they don't do an heter iska, even if they're going to agree, but it's very likely that in 2 years' time, not very likely, actually, often it shouldn't happen, but it might happen in 2 years' time, they might not have the whole rest of the money, they might be missing £10,000. And the seller, if it's a Haimish fellow who's let them use his property for the last 2 years and trust them, it's very likely that he'll agree to completion taking place, and the less £10,000 will be left outstanding, which they'll owe. When that happens, all of a sudden, the tables have turned around completely. And all of a sudden, there's £300,000 property that's gone over to the buyer, and the seller has lent to the buyer now £10,000, not the other way around. And then we've got to make sure there's no benefits going the opposite way. And if that happens, there is a definite likelihood, especially so far down the line, of something here going down, a nice box of chocolates going the other way, saying thank you so much for being so kind and considerate that we can manage to complete on the sale or anything else which get involved. Therefore, any time when people are going to release the exchange funds, it's advisable to use a heter iska. We've explained what it is in the past. We can't go through the arichas what it is, but it's an agreement which should be signed between the two parties as one of the sale documents, and that will allow them to benefit either way. If you use the Het Iska from Bris Pinchas, the one which we're giving out in the Beis Eruah, it's got the terminology inside which will work that each of the parties could be either the malva or the loiva. Even if it changed around the middle, it'll work both parties. Most heter iskas are written in one direction. Therefore, if one take out a heter iska, would have to write two for both scenarios. That heter iska is written with terminology that works for both ways. If they're both this malva, the loiva, or vice versa, it'll work. And if the sign of heter iska will mean that any of the benefits which are going to take place are not taking place because of a loan, any money which has been released is not a loan from one party to the other, but it's an investment from one of them in the other person's property, other person's house, other person's portfolio. And there is a property which they're investing in, is this house itself which they're buying. That's itself an investment. So there's always going to be a property around which is going to make sense. And these small benefits which are happening are always, generally, unless it's a crazy type of agreement, are always going to be less than the, they always go into the permissible amount of return which one is allowed to get on the heter iska. And therefore, you don't have to understand every line of the heter iska, but you have to understand the gist of it and the agreement. There's not a loan taking place, there is an investment taking place. I thought maybe we'll cover another one. There's many shahs talking about buying and selling houses, but hopefully to bring an awareness that every time you buy and sell something, the best way is not to release the exchange funds, and then there's no loan taking place. Very often it's worthwhile to release exchange funds, and very often you get a better price because of it. And therefore, that itself, getting a better price, just releasing exchange funds, is also problematic. Therefore, one has to be very careful, aware. And mitzvah with awareness, and mazoichazan, azoichi chazal darshanan, as somebody who's makbid ribis in the chusim esrabim, in chasa shulam mefaket, in shechanu shtai faket, aish zoichazan, groyse shefer, bruche, and atzluchim, zoichazan, zetkis amesim, and this brings his zahiris and ribis.
Problems of rivers when buying a property.
Main hedge, main